She wrote, "My brother died in 2015. I found him in his apartment, barely responsive, shirtless, and covered in fecal matter. 911 was summoned, and I met them at the emergency room. After initial intake, I started to wash his body. It was hospital soap and rough linens, not the finest perfume. He had been somewhat agitated as the nurses and technicians checked him in, but when I was alone with him, he let me wash him. As I washed him, I know I spoke to him, though I don't remember what I said. I had no concept that I was preparing him for his death, but I knew I was washing him so that people in the hospital knew he was loved. He was my big brother, and he was loved immensely. I wonder if Mary didn't in many ways feel the same way my friend Aaron felt. Here was Jesus, someone she loved immensely, someone who had given her back her dear brother, someone who they really considered part of the family. Here he was, again, surrounded by people, some of whom loved him, some who were curious about him, some who were inevitably there to challenge him. He had likely had a long day, and yet was expected to be at the top of his game in conversation around the dinner table. And Mary loved him so much that she wanted to do something special for him. And so John tells us Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Of course, if we've been around the church for very long, we might know that in the Gospel of John, this story leads right into the events of Holy Week. We might know that the perfume she used was the same perfume that was used to prepare bodies for burial. We might know that Judas, who spoke out against her act, would soon betray Jesus. And so often we hear this only as a story about Jesus, only about him becoming more ready on the way to the cross, only about how people were becoming more and more divided, choosing sides, finding themselves in positions to declare whether they were for him or against him. And yet there is so much more we can learn about Jesus' story from this passage. Meanwhile, if all we learn is about Jesus' story, this is nothing more than a glimpse backward, a glimpse into history. So I find myself, as I do often with Scripture, reading the story and asking, so what? Other than another glimpse into who Jesus was, other than another step, in this case, toward his crucifixion, what does this text offer us? What can we learn that can change who we are? Because again, I remind you that this is the Easter season. Easter isn't just about one day on the calendar when we celebrate resurrection, even without fully understanding it. It isn't just a celebration of who Jesus was or a theological claim of resurrection, but Easter is a way of life. It is about a change in our lives. It is about being and becoming more fully every day who God created us to be. So what does this story teach us? not only about someone who lived 2,000 years ago, but what does it teach us about how we might live today? Well, what did Mary do? She cared in the most intimate ways for Jesus. And before we think this story is only about what we do for Jesus, let us remember that in the very next chapter of John's Gospel, we see Jesus, whose feet Mary washed in today's story, turn to his disciples and wash their feet. And we can remember that foot washing, while we see it in these stories as a beautiful act of care, was also simply a necessary routine of hospitality and cleanliness. Sandaled feet on dusty roads not only felt better after being washed, but caused less of a mess. And often feet were washed in Jesus' time, not by one's closest friends, but by the household servants. And yet in both today's story and the one about Jesus washing his disciples' feet, more than just a necessary foot washing was going on. Yes, it seems we should be listening, not to the means, but to the message, not focused on the foot washing, but on the love that was given in that act. So I ask again, what does resurrection living look like? If this story isn't only about Jesus, if her act isn't only about cleaning his feet, what can we glean that tells us something about how we are called to live? It seems that from this story, we are reminded that resurrection living looks like people who pay enough attention to see another's need and who take time to respond. And this just isn't just about big needs out there. This isn't just about realities that will always be part of our lives and communities. Remember, there's that conversation in this text about whether or not Mary used her resources well by washing Jesus' feet with such an expensive perfume when so many poor were around them. And Jesus' response does not diminish the needs of the poor. In fact, those who were familiar with the Jewish scriptures would have heard in his response a reference to Deuteronomy 15, which says, "Open your hand to the poor and the needy in your land." In pointing out that the poor would always be with them, Jesus didn't dismiss their needs. Rather, he affirmed the ongoing work of responding to them. See, this is a case of both and. Yes, the poor will always be with us and they need our attention, and sometimes we simply need to take care of each other. It seems, as we live into this resurrection season, that this is a message we don't want to miss. After all, how often do we neglect our own needs and the needs of those people closest to us in the name of important work out there in the world? How often do we neglect our own needs and those people closest to us in the name of getting the job done or the task complete? How often is it those closest to us who get the least and the worst of us? I remember as a teenager attending the funeral of an older gentleman from my church. He was greatly admired in the church. We children sat in awe of his kindness and generosity. How shocked I was to hear his son talk about a father who was largely absent from home as he was giving himself to everyone else. I feel sure that the man I admired would have never intended to neglect his child. I feel sure that without ever meaning to, he looked right past those closest to him as he looked to the needs of the world. And yet here sits Mary at the feet of Jesus because she knew that he too needed to be taken care of. Here sits Mary, one who is willing to pay attention not just to the tasks and expectations, but to the people in her midst, one who made taking care of her friend Jesus a priority. So what would our community look like if we not only filled bins with items for DVIP and the food pantry, if we not only worked together on building habitat houses, if we not only raised money to support families and communities through Heifer International, if we not only wrote letters to our elected officials asking them to adopt legislation that takes care of the most vulnerable, if we not only marched in the Pride Parade to make clear our welcome, while all of these are important and while we will keep doing them, what would our community look like if we were also intentional about looking one another in the eye more often and sharing acts of care with each other? I remember one day visiting a dear 97-year-old in the hospital. As she lay in that bed, she looked at me and said, "We don't say I love you often enough. We assume that people know it. We say it after they've died, but we don't tell each other as often as we should." As Mary sat at Jesus' feet with perfume that cost a year's wages, with perfume that was supposed to be kept for a burial, she claimed that he was important today, that he should be cared for today, that he needed to know how much he was loved today. So do we. So what if? What if we brought out the good china and served a meal to someone who was always taking care of everyone else? What if we slowed down long enough to look someone in the eye and ask, "How are you?" And then to really listen? What if we not only encouraged each other to be doing important things in the world, but also gave each other opportunities for Sabbath and renewal? What if at the end of a long day, marching or working together, we washed one another's feet? Resurrection living is about many things, but let us not neglect each other in our efforts to transform the world. Let us not forget the one sitting at the other end of the pew, the one with whom we'll ride home today, the one who is always taking care of everyone else. And let us learn to care for each other with the tenderness and commitment of Mary. Amen.